1. A Forgotten Story. The telling of Africa's ancient Christian heritage has languished for many centuries. Though it needs telling, there is some reticence to think that anyone from the West is adequately equipped to tell it. Yet it is so important to the history of Africa and global Christianity that it needs to be told accurately and without unfounded conjectures. Who can tell it? Some Westerners will turn away from even hearing of Africa's ancient Christian heritage because of seated prejudices about the assumed unimportance of Africa to world history. There are other impediments. Political barriers, such as those prevailing in Libya, Algeria, and Sudan, have prevented much of the story to be told earlier. The revolutions, terrorism, and repressions following the Algerian struggle of 1956 have shut down borders. I have twice been denied entrance into Libya, even with a government-stamped visa in hand. The ensuing obstacles to international travel have given the impression that there is no magnificent Christian history in North Africa, or not much. There seems to be little archaeological or textual or art history evidence. But that perception is changing. Now the story can be retold based both on new evidence and the re-examination of old or neglected evidence. The story begs not only to be told, but to be much further developed by research into its unexamined texts and artifacts, its economic, sociological, political, and demographic features. It requires study by those who have expertise in the relevant languages of the historic texts, especially Arabic and Coptic and Ge'ez. Though Coptic and Orthodox Christians in the north of Africa will already have heard episodes of this story, most global Christians have only the sketchiest notion. The name of the story is Early African Christianity. It is not about Coptic Christianity alone, or Black Africa alone, or Byzantine Greek Christianity alone, or Latin Christianity alone, or Nilotic Christianity alone, but all of these together. The best way of naming these varieties is by the ancient generic term Africa. It especially needs to be retold in Africa by African parents to African children. Non-Africans are deeply moved by this story when it is straightforwardly told. How Africa shaped the Western mind is a story that belongs to the West as well as to Africa. Yet I have remained reticent until now to bear this responsibility, despite years of study of Africa's patristic texts, its archaeological remains, its art history, and its current literature. The reticence is due to the withering question, who are you to speak? Dr. Tite Tianu has advised, who are you? You are the one who has spent decades digging into the evidence. Don't hold it back. So this attempt should be understood only as an early embryonic effort for others to nurture and improve upon. Its purpose is to encourage future generations of African scholarship to tell the story more adequately. But these new voices are still in preparation. The only advantage of hearing it in a Western accent is that it saves African accent.